Harry is a survivor of cancer. And I think about the portion of the song we sang today, that God is able to take away that fear, the fear of death, the fear of every time you have a pain. Anybody that's ever had cancer knows what I'm talking about. You have pain in your body, you think, oh, is it starting up again? Is it still going to be there? Any that ever went through cancer know what that's like. They faced that. And Brother Harry knows what that's like. And I'm going to let you give him a warm welcome as he comes to share. Brother, you take your liberty. If you want to share a little bit about your story, you're still welcome to do so.
Bless you.
I think we'll save the cancer story for another day. That takes a while. That's been a 3.5-year battle, but the Lord has won that battle time and time and time again. But I did want to sincerely thank you for the invitation to worship with you this morning on this glorious Easter morning. And in particular, I wanted to thank all of you who might have been praying for me the last 3 days. I've experienced a somewhat resurrection of my own. The Lord lifted me up from the hospital bed to enable me to be here this morning. And so I praise the Lord. He is faithful to all of his people's prayers. He always honors our prayers. So thank you for your prayers. I sincerely appreciate that. Of course, the news of the day is, he is risen. Hallelujah. But I must tell you, I checked the local newspaper before I came this morning, and if you had to depend on the newspaper, you wouldn't know he is risen. There is nothing in the entire Sunbury Daily item about Easter, except way back towards the end, it talks about chicks and bunnies. That's it. And so it is up to all of us to make sure that everyone we meet, not only today, but throughout the year, knows that he is risen indeed. And because he lives, we too shall live. You know, there is a profession of faith among Christians, which I know that you're all familiar with. It's called the Apostles' Creed. And this creed was first recited by Christians in the year 400. And it has been carried down through the church and is still used today in many churches. The Apostle Creed contains a statement of doctrine pertaining to the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we particularly celebrate at Easter, but we celebrate throughout the rest of the year. This creed is attributed to the followers of Christ at that time, and they wrote it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It begins, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. And then it continues on, and when it gets to the very last sentence, it says, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. You'll notice it does not say, I believe in the resurrection of the spirit. I believe in the resurrection of the mind. I believe in the resurrection of the conscience. I believe in the resurrection of opinions. It says, I believe in the resurrection of the body. And of course, the body is the encasement of all of those things. We believe in a complete, total resurrection of the dead. And this declaration of resurrection is what separates us, what distinguishes us as Christians from all other religions of the world. Do you know? There are no other religions who believe in the resurrection of the body. No wonder they call us peculiar, odd. No wonder the Lord said, come out from among them and be separate. And yet, do you know that there are many people still today, sadly enough, even in the church, who say, I don't believe in the resurrection of the body unless you prove it to me. I need to see it for myself if I'm going to believe it. If you were to search the scriptures, you would discover there is more evidence to substantiate the resurrection than there is evidence to show that George Washington was the first president of the United States. And still, there are unbelieving skeptics who demand, give us more proof, more proof. In the 20th chapter of John, we hear the story of one of Jesus' original disciples, Thomas. He had spent 3 years, just like the other disciples, with Jesus. And Thomas was told that Jesus was alive, risen from the dead, and he would not believe it. In essence, Thomas said what represents the voice of many in society even today. Prove it, and then I'll believe it. So Thomas would not have been one who could ascribe to the verse that says, we live by faith and not by sight. Thomas believed by what he could see, not by faith. And thus we had the story that we all know of doubting Thomas. I sincerely hope and pray that this morning there are no doubting Thomases among us. Because if there are, the angel of the Lord would say to you, he is not here. He is risen. Yes. Hallelujah. And so I'd like to read that story about doubting Thomas this morning. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the 20th chapter of John. John chapter 20. We're going to begin reading at verse 24. And in reverence for the reading of God's word, if you're able, would you please stand? John chapter 20, beginning at verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious holy word, the absolute word of truth that we have to rely on, to place our faith on, the story of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his glorious resurrection on our behalf. And so as we look at the life of Thomas this morning through an illustration, may all of us leave here believing without seeing. May we leave here with increased faith, knowing for sure that because he lives, we too shall live. And may we be the ones to be your messengers, to take that message to the world, to this lost and dying world who so desperately needs Jesus. Father, we'll give you all praise and glory today and every day. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It was Maundy Thursday, And Pastor Rick and his wife Pam were just new in town. It would be their first Easter at their new church. Rick was upstairs in his study preparing the Easter sermon. Pam was downstairs practicing the Easter anthem on the piano. It was about 10 o'clock in the evening. And suddenly, there was a loud pounding at the back door. Pam leaped from the piano and dashed through the kitchen to the door. But by that time, Delbert Mattson, who was also known in town as Fuzzy, came reeling through the kitchen door, through the kitchen, knocked over a chair, and staggered and ended up over the kitchen sink. By that time, Rick had heard the commotion from upstairs and had hurried down into the kitchen. Pam was screaming. She didn't know what to do. She didn't know who this was. Fuzzy was now seated at the kitchen table, confused, irrational, obviously intoxicated. Fuzzy emphatically blurted out to Rick, "Hi, preacher, I'm Fuzzy, and I'm an atheist." At that moment, Rick didn't really care about Fuzzy's religion. His only thoughts were maintaining the safety and security of his family. Rick said, "Well, Fuzzy, what brings you charging into our house tonight, this late, in the country, scaring us half to death, when we don't even really know you?" Fuzzy replied, "I'm on my way home. I live just about a half mile down the road." Rick said, "Do you live anywhere near Marie Bolstead's house?" "Live near her? I live with her. I'm her brother. I've been with her ever since Milt died." Milt was her husband. He died 5 years ago. That was a horrible thing that happened to Milt. "That's the main reason I don't believe in God. Why would God do such a terrible thing as he did to Milt? And left Marie all alone in that big farm with no children, nobody to help her. You call that fair? God is not fair, and so I don't believe in him anymore." Fuzzy shook his finger at Rick, as if Rick were God. Pam had gone to check on the children, and now she re-entered the kitchen. She said, "Fuzzy, I don't see your car out there anywhere. How did you get here?" Well, Fuzzy looked a little bit puzzled. He says, "I don't know. I was driving my truck when I left home tonight." "Oh boy, I really got myself in trouble this time. Marie will once again be so ashamed of me, just like every other time." This apparently was not Fuzzy's first encounter with alcohol. Almost in desperation, not knowing what to say or what to do, Pam asked, "Would anybody like a cup of coffee?" Rick blurted out, "Sure, we all would like to have a cup." Well, Pam was so surprised because Rick had never had a cup of coffee in his whole life. And he found out later that Fuzzy never drank coffee. He didn't like the taste of it. He preferred beer. But that night, they all sat at the kitchen table together drinking coffee. As they sat there and drank and talked, Fuzzy began to tell his story to Rick and Pam. His father had died when he was 11 years old. And after graduation from high school, Fuzzy had worked for a veterinarian in town for 2 years. And then he enlisted in the Navy. And a year after that, he was deployed to Vietnam. Fuzzy went on to explain to Rick that in Vietnam, he had one close friend, his best buddy, Glenn. But while on patrol one night looking for snipers, the snipers found Glenn first, and he had been killed. From that day on, Fuzzy said that he drank constantly in order to deal with the fear and the loneliness and the anger. Why would God let such a terrible thing happen to his best friend, Glenn. Fuzzy decided right there that he would never believe in God again. And he hadn't. And then as Pastor Rick and Pam listened, Fuzzy proceeded to pour out one bitter story after another about employers and neighbors and former friends who had turned against them since his return from Vietnam. The only one that was not critical of him anymore was his sister Marie. She was the only one who he could depend upon. When finally Fuzzy sobered up a little bit, Rick drove him home. And sure enough, there at the door was Marie waiting for him. The only thing she said was, "Fuzzy, I see you managed to embarrass me once again." The next morning, Rick returned to Fuzzy's house and offered to help him find his truck from the night before. So after searching for an hour, they found the truck. It was about 3 miles away from Rick and Pam's. Gas tank was empty. About 2 hours after that, they had gotten gas, got the truck, and got Fuzzy safely back home again. It was now Friday night. As Rick stood at the door of the church, welcoming people to the Good Friday service, he saw Marie and Fuzzy walking up the sidewalk. Fuzzy was dressed in a suit, but as he shook Rick's hand, he leaned over and he whispered, "Don't get your hopes up, preacher. I'm only doing this for Marie." That night, the sermon was based on Jesus' last words from the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Rick told the congregation that the cross was a place of loneliness and agony for Jesus, but that the cross was the only place where we can be saved from our sins and united with God forever. By Saturday morning, everyone in town knew the story about what had happened to Fuzzy on Thursday and Friday night. Wherever Rick went in town, people would stop him and give him another Fuzzy story that he hadn't heard before. They all indicated that Fuzzy had been such a gentle, loving, kind man before Vietnam. But since his return, he has been nothing but bitter, blaming everybody else for all of his problems, particularly blaming God. It was now Easter morning. To everyone's astonishment, there was Fuzzy in church again. But he had that same bitter attitude that he had always had. As Fuzzy entered the church, he said to Pastor Rick, "An hour of listening to your nonsense is a small price to pay to keep the peace at home." Rick preached that the resurrection is for all people, even those who originally denied Christ, like the Apostle Peter had done. There is still hope, even for those who are currently denying Christ. During communion, everyone went forward to the altar, except for Fuzzy. It was now the week after Easter. Rick was in his office at the church, and suddenly there was Fuzzy at the door. "I know you took aim at me, preacher, with that sermon on Easter, but it didn't work. I still don't believe in God. God is cruel. He's mean. He's not fair. He lets too many people die that don't deserve to die." There was perfect silence. Then Rick broke the silence, and he said, "Don't you beat all, Fuzzy. You claim you don't believe in God, and then you say you're mad at him. You sure waste a lot of time and energy being angry at someone that doesn't even exist. Fuzzy squinted his eyes a little bit. He stared at Rick. He had a puzzled expression on his face. Rick spoke softly. Fuzzy, I don't know what happened to you in Vietnam, but I know that you've been angry. You've been bitter at the wrong person for a lot of years. I wasn't taking aim at you on Easter, but you need to know one thing. When your friend died in Vietnam, when Milt died 5 years ago, it wasn't only your heart that was broken, but God's heart was broken as well. That's why he sent Jesus to the cross, so that he could experience the hurt and the pain and take it from you. He took it upon himself so you don't have to experience it. You don't have to carry it with you. Turn your burdens over to the Lord. Fuzzy didn't say a word. He just walked to his truck, got in, and drove away. That night, Rick told Pam, I'm afraid we've lost Fuzzy forever. I don't expect that we'll ever see him again. But Rick was wrong. The next Sunday, there was Fuzzy in church again. And not only that, but Monday morning, he was at Rick's office again, bright and early. Fuzzy humbly whispered to Rick, I haven't had a very good couple of days and nights. Haven't got much sleep because of what you said. In church yesterday, I finally realized it wasn't you aiming at me. It was God aiming at me. God looked me straight in the eyes, and he said, put your finger here, and put your hand in my side there. He not only said it to me, he said it to Thomas as well. He said it to both of us over and over and over again. Put your hand in my side. Rick interrupted, Fuzzy, who is this Thomas guy you're talking about? Well, Fuzzy looked surprised. You know, the disciple of Jesus, Thomas. About midnight last night, Thomas and I took up Jesus on his offer. We stuck our hands into his wound. When I pulled my hand out, it was dripping with blood. In a split second, Thomas and I cried out together, my Lord and my God. Fuzzy fell to his knees there in the office. He began to cry. He finally looked up at Rick and he says, I'm ready to get help. Will you please help me? Rick explained to Fuzzy the plan of salvation and the need for him to be resurrected from the dead and to be born again in the Spirit. Fuzzy received Christ that morning, right there in Rick's office. He entered a detox program. He quit blaming God for all of his problems. He eventually got a job, and he began to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 year later, Fuzzy stood up in church at the Easter sunrise service, and he read the story to the congregation of Doubting Thomas. Afterward, he added his own words, encouraging the congregation to accept God's amazing grace by turning their doubts into faith. And then he concluded, this morning, maybe one of you will put your hand into the Lord's side and confess your faith in Jesus Christ. So folks, this morning, we all know Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. But then Jesus asks us probably what is the most critical question in the entire Bible when he said, "Do you believe this? Do you believe this?" If there is anyone here this morning who doubts the resurrection of Jesus Christ, maybe you need to take some of Fuzzy's advice. Put your hand in the Lord's side, and you too will exclaim, "My Lord and my God." Amen.